say this should probably be eating in the cafeteria. I'm probably going to be sleeping off. We'll see if it's not. I may sleep at a doctor. But normally when I eat the cafeteria, I sleep at home, and that's kavua. My home is my home kavua. Just because I happen to be eating, I'm visiting by someone, I'm eating Friday night by somebody else. So that's how Roy. I'm going to go home and sleep in my own home. So there, the one that's kavua beats out the one that's Roy. So let's say one is more comfortable than the other. Let's say the Bochum and Yeshiva in Europe used to have a system. They flag Ness and Teg. They used to eat by different balabatim all the time. Monday night they ate by this family, and Wednesday night they ate by that family, and sometimes they didn't eat by any family. And then on Shabbos they used to eat by another family. So the days of the Gemara they used to do that also. So the Gemara says that the hosts used to treat them like Stiefkinder. Their own children, and they ate by balabatim, their own children, they gave big portions. And the Yeshiva Bacher, who was a freeloader, they used to give smaller portions. So the boys didn't enjoy it by the eating by the other people. They enjoyed sleeping in the dormitory better than eating by the balabatim. So the Gemara says since it was more comfortable where they slept as opposed to where they ate, so therefore the Makam Lina is better. Or the Magen Avraham says if one is private and one is public, let's say in a cafeteria you have 100 people eating together, 200 people eating together. In the dormitory rooms you only have two or three people sleeping in each room. So the bedroom where you sleep is more private than the Chadar Ochel where you're eating, because that's public. So the one that's more private is more svarah. Magen Avraham saying that's why that's considered basic. So the Mishnah Brewer runs through all of the law, you have to juggle around all different courts. So that's near this issue also. When the people ask around each other, if a guy has an apartment in his building, but has an apartment in the other building also. So the only answer is either one building or the other, doesn't answer in both. The only answer is where it's basic. So that's the what starts off as a machloikis, and the Gemara said there wasn't a machloikis. Sometimes the din is that the makam machila is goyram, and sometimes the makam lina, the place where he sleeps, is goyram. So that's the halacha. If you have 100 families, everybody will have pas. The pas has to be lechem shema baruchem olav hamoitzi, and nonetheless, we usually make an erev chatzeres, and it lasts for a whole year. You make an erev chatzeres at Pesach, the Pesach is the gematzes, and it lasts all year long. So what do we make with matzahs? The Sfardim same as Einus on matzahs. The Gemara says it has to be lechem shema baruchem olav hamoitzi. So the answer appears in the Gemara brachas that if you have, let's say the Sfardim same as Einus all year long, but on Pesach night they say hamoitzi. Why do they say hamoitzi on the matzah? Because the kaveh sudar. So whenever you have such a cake or cookies that if you eat enough of it, you'll say hamoitzi. So the Gemara says ma'arvin boy, that's considered lechem shema baruchem olav hamoitzi. It's pas habov v'kistin. It's a subcategory of pas. It is lechem. But when you get to hamaitzi versus mezainah, so if you're not kaveh sudah, you say mezainah. So if you are kaveh sudah, say hamaitzi. If you have oatmeal cereal or Wheaties, even if you eat a ton of it, you don't say hamaitzi. That's not, that doesn't have a tzuras pas at all. So that's what the Gemara says. So the Ramah says the meaning is that you use matzahs. Why do we dafka use matzahs? Because you're going to make an erev that's going to last the whole year long. So they're going to use challahs. They're going to get stale. They didn't have any freezers in the days of the Ramah. So if you're going to use challahs, it's going to get stale. Or it's going to get wormy. So you should use a box of matzahs, and it may also get wormy. The Ramah says if it gets wormy, if it gets stale, if it gets inedible, then it's no good. It has to be roi machiva. Challah
and the freezer is also inedible.
Has to be roi lachila erev Shabbos bein hashmoshes. Everybody in the, whenever there's an erev in an apartment building, let's say, all the shomer shabbos in the building have to know which apartment is the erev, and everybody has to have access to it. Let's say I have the erev in my apartment. The people in my building ask me to take care of it, so I have the erev in my apartment. So when I go away for Shabbos, and I locked the door, so the Erev is no good, nobody has access to it. So the people have to know that my next door neighbor has the key to my apartment. And whoever wants to eat the matzahs can go to the next door neighbor and get it. If I'm away and my next door neighbor is away, and nobody else has the keys to our apartment, then I have to give the Erev to someone else to make sure that everything. The people are supposed to know where the Erev is. But yeah, you have to have access to the Erev. And Erev Shabbos, as Shabbos is entering, once the Shabbos enters and the Erev is in place, the box matzahs is there, so even if it's eaten up in the middle of Shabbos, he's still permitted to carry. Shabbos all the hutra hutra, if in the beginning of Shabbos you made a good Erev, so then it's good. It has to be there for Trilas Hayim. When I moved into Washington Heights, when I first got married, so one of the shomer shabbos in the building told me there's an Erev in the building, and he was a learned person. So I relied on that. Then a year later, he said, the matzah is in so-and-so. I said, the matzah? One matzah? He says, yeah. Rabbi so-and-so told me to make it. What do you mean one matzah? We usually streamline the Erev instead of collecting from more than 99 people. Who wants to have 100? Who wants to have 99 matzahs in a whole bunch of boxes, the chalas in a whole bunch of boxes? So you buy one box of matzahs from the store, two boxes of matzahs in the store, and you give it to someone else, and you say, Zachli Adam Shalom, let the other person pick it up. All the Shamers have to live there now, and whoever is going to move in until the next Pesach, the next Erev Pesach, we'll renew the Erev, we'll make it over again. How can you make a kinyan now on behalf of someone who you don't know who is going to be? How do you know who's going to move in until the next Pesach? That's called Ein Breira. It should have been Ein Breira. You want the kinyan to take effect now when the fellow's picking up the box of matzahs. You don't say, I'll pick up the box of matzahs and I have a mind to be going to shutvus for all the other people. In my mission, say, Ein Zechai Deatzma. If I bought the matzahs from the store, I can't pick it up later if it belongs to me. I can't pick it up later and say, I have a mind to be going to shutvus for all the Shem Shabbos. When I buy it from the store, it belongs to the storekeeper. I can tell the storekeeper, I'm giving you money and I want to pick it up to be kind of shit for all the Shem Shabbos. Fine. But once I bought it and it belongs to me, then I can't pick it up. In order to make a kinyan on the top plan, first step is it has to leave the rishus of the Marakama, then it has to enter into the rishus of the Marabasra. So if it's mine and I pick it up, it never left my rishus. So the Mishnah says I have to give it to somebody else. Then there's all discussion in the Mishnah, in the Tosfos, in the Shulchan Aruch. What if I give it to my wife, Ishti Kigufa? What if I give it to my children, Masmuchamach Shulchani? If I have married children who come to visit, that's not a problem. But if I have single children who live by me, even if they're after Bar Mitzvah, that's all Machlekes and Shulchan Aruch. Machlekes and Rishon, whether I can give it to them, they should be Zoicha on behalf of the other people or not. So we usually have, I give the whole box of matzahs to one person. And that one person picks it up and he says, I have a mind to be kind of shoot to all the Shem Shabbos and Leif, and now all those are going to move into the next place. How is that good? You want the Kenya to take effect now. You don't know who it's on behalf of. So that should be called Ein Breira. So the solution is that Erev Chatzeres is only a Chumre Midirabbana, Tarkanish Lai Ma'amalas, and the Gemara says Midirabbana, we paskin Yesh Breira. Different opinions. It's a gigantic grand, Masechus Nedarim. The first daf on the first Mishnah, Perek HaShutfin. So the Ran says that's how we pass. With respect to Dinam Deraisa, we pass the name Breira. With respect to Dinam Derabbanan, we pass the Yesh Breira. So this is an example of a Din Derabbanan. We say Yesh Breira, Din Derabbanan. So you say you have in mind, you kind of shoot for somebody else, Wabi Shabbos Shabbos, who live here now, whoever is going to move in until Pesach. The Din is at the Erev Chatzeres, and you have to have a Gregoris L'Cholech HaViecha. A Gregoris is either a third of an egg or a little more. So if you have 1,000, if you have 99, you have 100 apartments, you have 99 Shabbos Shabbos, and you have 100 Shabbos Shabbos, 99 people have to have shutvus. The guy who lives in this apartment doesn't have to have a shutvus. The other 99 have to have a shutvus in the back to matzahs. So then the Mishnah says, up until 18 grogers, more than 18 grogers, you don't have to have. How does that translate? What is 18 grogers? So the Shulchan Aruch has a machlokes. The Pashtus says that it's divided by 6 beis ish. The other opinion is that it's 8 beis. So usually, let's say, a box of matzahs probably has the volume of 8 beis. And if a person thinks doesn't have matzahs, you have 2 boxes of matzahs. 2 boxes of matzahs the holidays, you're going to have the Yud Ches Gregoris. So the din is, you have to have the Gregoris v'cholechot v'yechot. Let's say if you only have 10 Shomer Shabbos in the building, so the one family where you leave with box matzah, he doesn't have to have a shutvus in the matzah. The other 9 Shomer Shabbos have to have a shutvus. So each one has to have a gregoris for each one. If you have 20 Shomer Shabbos, you don't need more than 18 gregoris. That's the Mishnah like that. So one matzah, there were many Shomer Shabbos in the building, brother. So one matzah was clearly a mistake. It wasn't enough. So I guess the Rabbi Posen, they told me Rabbi Breuer said one matzah. He said, they tell you all kinds of things. They have wax on their ears, they don't know what they're talking about. Rabbi Breuer wouldn't say against that law.
But it's good for one person, it's good for a few people. Maybe you're part of that few people. It's good for somebody, it's good for a few people.
But if the Erev is no good unless all the Shem Shabbos participate in the wax of matzahs. You don't say those who participate in a lot of carry, those who didn't participate in a lot of carry. If there's one Jew who didn't participate, so it's no good. The Erev is only good, the box matzah is only good for one for whom it's relevant. If the fellow is a Shem Shabbos, matzah. Without the box of matzahs, he would not carry. With the box of matzahs, he's going to carry. So that is good. But even if he's a Mechal Shabbos at home, he listens to the radio, and he talks on the telephone, and he writes, and he does all kamalachas, but he doesn't want to do Mechal Shabbos in public. In my building now, there's a student who graduated yeshiva, and he's not a Shem Shabbos anymore, he's not religious anymore, but he's embarrassed to be Mechal Shabbos when other Jews are watching. So if he knows it's a box of matzahs, that's called Mesham Shabbat HaBashuk. Mesham Shabbos in public, but he's not Mesham Shabbat HaBayis, but it's Mesham Shabbat HaBashuk. So as long as the box of matzahs is relevant for him, he would not carry in public when other people are watching if there wouldn't be an heir. Now that there's an heir, he will carry. So then the heir is good. If you have non-Jews living in the building, or non-Shamash Shabbos, Legamri, non-Shamash Shabbos, so the box of matzahs doesn't help for them. So they aser also. So everybody asers on each other. So the whole heir is no good. So the Mishnah says, no, then you have to rent from the Nochri. So let's say in my building I have, let's say there are 100 apartments, 50 are Shamash Shabbos. There are 50 Shamash Shabbos. Let's say there are 50 non-Jews and Mechalei Shabbos. Now, to knock on the 50 doors, the non-Jews and the Mechalei Shabbos, and go tell them I want to rent their apartment for religious purposes. The Gemara has a machlokes. When you do the Schiris Rishus from the Nochri, there has to be Schiris Beriah. You really have to rent the apartment for Choshen Mishpat purposes. I have to rent this apartment to be able to use the apartment for something. I want to rent your apartment. I'm going to give a dollar to the guy. I say, I want to rent your apartment. I should have the right to leave my luggage here once in a while. I should have the right to come and do my homework here. So the guy told me, go fly a kite. For $1, I should give you the right to rent my apartment. So we paskin in the Gemara, schiris ruuah. A week schiris is also good. I just have to say, I want to rent your apartment for religious purposes. It doesn't give me the right to use your apartment at all, just for religious purposes, to enable the Orthodox Jews to carry for Shabbos. I don't have the right to leave furniture there. I don't have the right to sit and watch television in his apartment. I don't have any rights at all. The big mom is just for religious purposes, so that's sufficient. That's called Schiris Ru'ua is good enough. But that's quite a job. I have to go knock on 50 doors and go convince everybody I want to rent your apartment for religious purposes. So the Gemara has a kula. Let's say the fellow, the goy, is an anti-Semite. He doesn't, there was one goy who didn't want to rent, so they called him Haman. Haman Baristi. Haman is a traditional name for anti-Semites. Yeah, his real name was Lachman Baristi, but they called him Haman Baristi because it was like Haman. He didn't want to rent to the Jews, even just for religious purpose, didn't want to rent. So they got about it, they got around it, so they went to his, he had a sleeping maid or a sleeping butler who used the whole apartment also. So they went to the maid or the butler who doesn't own the apartment. The maid or the butler is employed by the Balabas. The Gemara says that's called Schira or Rechita. If you have a handyman who comes in once in a while to do work, but you have to let him in, he doesn't have the right to come in whenever he wants. That's not called Schira Rechita. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the Chazon Hashem, it's only called Schira Rechita if it's a sleeping maid or a sleeping butler who has the right to use the whole apartment. So then, with Mekel, you can rent from the Schira Rechita. All that's it. Mr. Haman and his wife. Was not so anti-Semitic. For a dollar, she'll rent them her apartment for religious purposes. But the apartment doesn't belong to Mrs. Haman, it belongs to Mr. Haman. So the Gemara says, when Mekel, the wife lives in the apartment, even though she doesn't own the apartment, we can rent from the wife, or we can rent from the Schiva of Akito. What kind of a din is this Schiva of Akito? So the Stipler writes in the Sefer on Erevin, that if you look through the Shulchan Aruch, you will come to the realization that there are two kulas in Schiva of Akito, each one works independently of the other. One is, that we treat the Schira Lakito as if he is the owner of the apartment. So we're renting from the owner. The other cool is we treat the Schira Lakito as if he were a shliach of the owner, even though there's no shlichus la'akom, and even though the Haman is screaming. Haman Baristik is screaming. I don't want you to serve as my shliach. We're Mekel, we say he has a din of shliach in the Balkorcha of the Balabas, and you can rent from it. But then the Shulchan Aruch has differences. I said, we're Mekel in either way. Let's say I rented from the sleeping maid of the butler, and then the maid of the butler was fired. So I rented, as if I say, the Schira Lakito functions as the shliach of the Balabayis. So his shliach made the rental, so it's good as long as his tenant is still there. Even though they fired the Schira Lakito. Or let's say you have the sleeping maid and butler, and then the sleeping maid stays there even after the one who rented the apartment leaves and someone else rents the apartment now. So the fact that the maid rented it out as the shliach of the first guy, that doesn't help now. You have a new tenant now. But the we make them in the other direction. As Chir Lakita is good, we treat the maid as if she was the balabas. You go the hawk on the both directions. So what does this help? Let's say I raised an issue before. If you have 50 non-Jews and Machal Shabbos living in the building, you have to go knock on 50 doors. It's going to make life very difficult. So Nimar has this school of Chir Lakita. So then the Shulchan Aruch says, this Chir Lakita, you can rent, or I can rent for the Nochri in one way or the other. Strictly speaking, when you rent for the Nochri, so you're renting his apartment for religious purposes. So therefore, since you rented his apartment, it's considered as if he is a guest by you in your apartment, just for religious purposes. So therefore, since it's your apartment for religious purposes, so they don't answer on you. If the Nachri does want to agree to that, he's not interested in renting the inside of his apartment for religious purposes, so he can rent me his Drisus HaRegel in the hallways. He may only agree to rent the Drisus HaRegel, not to rent his apartment. What does he care though? You don't have to have anything written down on a piece of paper. It's only for religious purposes. It's what we call Schiris Ru'ua. What should it bother him? Sure. So we'll soon explain why. I can rent either one way or the other. He can, the normal, the basic way, the fundamental way, the Schiris and Shus helps is I rent the Goy's apartment, is considered as if the Nochri is a guest by me. Or I can rent the Drisus HaRegel of the Goy. If I only rent the Drisus HaRegel, then the Jews are allowed, and then I put away a box of matzahs, and the Jews are allowed to carry in the hallways into each other's apartments, but they can't carry into the Goy's apartment, because the Goy never rented me the inside of his apartment. If you only rent me the Drisus HaRegel, so I can only carry in the hallways, he doesn't ask around me in the hallways. But if he agrees to rent me the inside of his apartment, so for religious purposes, then if you make the error, not only can he carry in the hallways from one Shem Shabbos to the other, from one apartment, he can carry into the Goy's apartment as well. Rent to the Mechal Shabbos' apartment as well. Sometimes you have, let's say, what do you want? Why would you want to carry into the Mechal Shabbos' apartment? Let's say someone's having a Shever Brachas, and you need everybody's freezer to put all the food, and then you want to carry all the food in their freezer, or you're having guests staying in the building, and the Nochrim or the Mechal Shabbos are going to let you use their apartments also. So then you want your guests to be able to carry from the apartment of the Mechal Shabbos into the hallways, into your apartment. So it's better if you do this Chiris Meshus from the inside of the guy's apartment. Yeah. So how does this help? I still have to knock on 50 doors and go speech to 50 people. So the Shulchan Aruch says that there's a din. The super roams around in the hallways in my building. The super's responsibility is to clean the floors and make sure that the strangers are not loitering in the building. So the super has a din like Schira Lakita when he gets to the hallways. He doesn't have a din like Schira Lakita when he gets to the inside of the apartments. He doesn't have the keys to the inside of the apartment. Even if he would have the keys, it's only to be used in time of emergency if there's a leak or if there's a fire or something like that. Otherwise, he has no right to use the apartment. So the super does not have the din of Schira Lakita with respect to the inside of the apartment. He has a din of Schira Lakita when he gets to the hallways. So we are Mekel, I can go to the super if you know how to speak Spanish. Or you know how to speak Russian. My super speaks Russian. Her husband, my super is Mrs. Super. Her husband speaks English. She doesn't, she only speaks Russian. So I explained to the husband what I want to do. I want to rent the hallways. I can't rent the inside of the apartment. It's not Schira Lakita for the inside. People wanted to fix something inside, so they have to ask him, they have to give him permission. But he doesn't have the keys to the inside. He has no right to use the inside of the apartment. It's the super is the Schira Lakita when I get to the hallways. So I can rent, instead of knocking on 50 different doors, I knock on one door and I speak Russian to my super and I explain to him what I want. For religious purposes, I want to rent all of the hallways and from all of the Mechal Shabbos and all the non-Jews, and it doesn't give me the right to do anything that I didn't have the right to do before. I have no right to make parties in the hallways or anything. Indeed, the moment is it doesn't give me any exclusion, just for religious purposes, so that helps. In the Shulchan Aruch they have this din that Moishel Ha'ir is considered like Schira Lakita of all of the people who live in the city. You have to make a kinyan.
You have to do all the kinyan.
No, the Gemara says you can rent even b'pachas for Sheva Pruta. Why? Because the Gemara says the first half of Merkador, because one of the Sheva mitzvahs is Ben Anarch is Gezel. If any violation of any of the Shabbat mitzvahs in the Noach, so Gemara has a chiddush din, but if Nerag al pachas b'shavar pruta, if the Noach is still less than the Shavar pruta, he's chayv. So the din of pruta versus pachas b'shavar pruta is irrelevant as far as the Noach is concerned. So when you're renting from Nachrim, sometimes you have to rent from the Chal Shabbos also. But if you're only renting from Nachrim, then the Gemara says the rental is even valid if you rent from less than the Shavar pruta. So you give the Nachri $1, $5, whatever. He explained it, only renting the hallways for religious purposes. He's afraid he's going to get caught. So he said, you're not going to get caught. It's not Biksav. And I didn't gain any right to use the hallways more than I had before. It's only for religious purposes to enable the Orthodox Jews to carry the hallways. So this is all based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the Moshel Ha'ir, this is from the days of the early Mishnah. The Moshel Ha'ir has the status of Schir Lakita. Why? Because years ago the Moshel Ha'ir had a right to put soldiers into everyone to put the army. Moshel Ha'ir had an army. Every city had an army. And the Moshel had a right to ask you to leave your apartment, or he had a right to let you stay in your apartment and station soldiers in your apartment. Therefore, he has the din like Schir Lakita of all of the people in the city. So then says in the so what about the? That's a din of Moshel Ha'ir. Moshel has a din of Schir Lakita.
So why do you need the Bachmas for the rest of the Jews? Why can't the super suffice for the Jews as well?
No, that was a Takanas Chachanim for the Shomer Shabbos. You have to make Erev Chatzeres. That was Takanas Shlomo HaMelech. But if you have one who is not a Shomer Shabbos at all, or a Nachri, so then in order that you should nasa, you have to rent from them. But for the Jews in mitzvahs, you have to make an Erev
Chatzeres. And what's not suffice? The day of it from Judea, they didn't give whatever. By the way, I don't know. You didn't have the key to it. Would only suffice for the non-Jews, would not suffice for the
If they made an Erev Chatzeres, they have to do the mitzvah of making an Erev Chatzeres. And one person didn't participate, so then the Mishnah tells you there's an Eitzah, he can even vato Mishusa. There's a way to solve the problem also. But the best way is to do it right. Yeah. So in the Chacham Tzvi was an Ashkenazi. He's called Chacham Tzvi, the rabbi in Amsterdam. He was a rabbi by Israel Shekhila, but he was an Ashkenazi. So he lived in Vilna, same time as the Shah. When they had the Chmelnytsky riots, they killed a lot of rabbonim, killed a lot of people. So the Shah ran away. When you go touring in Vilna, they only talk about the Vilna guard. They don't talk about the Shah, because he's not buried there. Because the Sefi Yamah, he ran away after Chmelnytsky riots and he was somewhere else. Vilna Gaon was way after Chmelnytsky. So Chmelnytsky was in the late 1600s. So the Shach ran away and the Chacham Tzvi ran away. So the Chacham Tzvi, when he ran away he went to England and he went to Amsterdam, so he was confronted with a new phenomenon that he never experienced before, democracy. So he said, whoa, democracy. That's on the one hand, it's a wonderful thing. On the other hand, no more Moshel Ha'ir. You can't station troops in your apartment. The government can only station troops in your apartment if they declare war. But he can't declare war. The king has to declare war. Or the Congress in America, the mayor of New York City or the chief of police can't declare war. He has no right. He has the right to search my apartment if he has a search warrant. But if he has no raglan mudov, he has the right to make the search warrant. So when you have democracy, a lot of times, no mamashal li'ir. It's no mamashal li'ir, but again, to the inside of the apartments. So many of the poskim say, yeah, but let's say the chief of police or the mayor have the status of mamashal li'ir, but again, to the streets. So if you want to make a rental, but in Shulchan Aruch it says, you can rent for the Nachri, either rent the inside of his apartment, and he's considered a guest by you. So then if you rent the inside of his apartment, so then you can even carry in the hallways into the Shomer Shabbos, into the apartments of the non-Jews also. But if you only rented the Drisus HaRegel that the Rachri has in the hallways, then the Erev is good only to carry in the hallways and to carry from the one Shomer Shabbos to the other, because it put away the box of matzahs. But since we never rented the inside of the apartment of the Nachri, then you can't carry inside. So that's what some of the poskim said, that the Moshel, true, we don't have the same Moshel here that they used to have. That's what the Satmar Rebbe said when he lived in Satmar. So there was a Moshel Ha'ir, the chief of police, could go into your house whenever he wanted to. He could send police into your house and throw you out of your house. And when the Satmar Rebbe moved to America, so also he experienced democracy. So He said, no more Moshe Leir. He's not the Moshe Leir anymore. So in America, in the democracy, we consider the chief of police or the mayor of the city is considered the Moshe Leir ben Egev to the streets. He's not the Moshe Leir ben Egev to the inside of the apartment. Consider the Moshe Leir ben Egev to the streets. The Pashto says that, let's say you make an area in a community, so you make chitzis around and around, so I mean, it's one big mishum sayah, but then you have to worry about takonish la'anamela. So you rent from the Moshe Leir. The renting from the Moshe Leir helps in the drisus haregel that the Nochem had in the streets. It doesn't help for the drisus haregel, al-bipashin, it doesn't help for the drisus haregel inside the apartment buildings. The chief of police or the mayor of the city have no shlita over the inside of the buildings. The super has a shlita. So the pashto says, all the Jews who live in each building should really make their own eruv hatzeres. So they're allowed to carry their buildings, even if something goes wrong. With the general eruv in the whole city, let's say one of the wires falls down. So you can't carry the whole thing, so you have to have a separate eruv hatzeres in each building. And if you don't have a separate eruv hatzeres, the pashto, this is that the rental from the mayor doesn't help on the inside of the buildings. That's the pashto like that.
Didn't you say that even the super wouldn't help
with
the inside of the building?
Wouldn't help for the inside of the apartment, but for the hallways it probably would help.
Whereas
it's the super's responsibility to clean the hallways. He's like Sphira Lakito as far as the hallways are concerned. The lobbies, the backyard, the front lawn and so on, whatever, wherever he has the right to go. So he's Sphira Lakito, but he gets to that.
But the most of the air is only the city's gate.
Whenever the Nochri has Rises HaRegel, so he asks, and you have to rent from him. So wait a minute, there are Nochrim who can drive from Alaska, it's on the same continent, they can drive all the way from Alaska, from Wyoming, they can drive in the middle, we have an air here around the yeshiva, so the Nochri has a right to drive through, so I have to go rent for the Nochrim in Alaska? Really? Have to rent for the Nochrim in Alaska also because of their drisus haregel. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Vehedin quotes from the Nodi Yehuda. And it's the Nodi Yehuda says it based on Gemara, and the Ritva points out the same Gemara. The Nochri only asks if he has drisus haregel if the home where he lives, either his home where the place where he eats or the place where he sleeps, depending on that issue. If his beso is if he can go from Beso to this area will be made an Erev without leaving the Rishus HaYochid. So let's say, for example, I have two friends of mine who both moved to, they both used to live in the Heights many years ago, now they both moved to Muncie, they live across the street from each other, they learn Mechavruz with each other on Shabbos. So before they made the Erev in Muncie, so these two people, they lived across the street from each other, so they made an Erev on either side of the home, crossing the street, that they should be able to carry svarim from one's apartment to the other. They didn't have to rent from anybody because no one else, all the Jews and all the non-Jews have a drisus haregel that everybody has a right to go in the middle of the street, but the other people's homes are not, you can't go from your home to this area that's separated from the rest of the street without walking out of your rishus hayachid. You walk in the street and then you walk into the area which they included as an Erev. So then the Drisus HaRegel doesn't ask. The Drisus HaRegel only asks if it's in the same building. So I'm going to go. The Nochri lives in the building. He can go in the hallways or in the city if there's an Erev around the whole city. So the Nochri lives in an apartment. He can walk in the city without leaving a Rishus HaYachid. He went from his apartment into the street, but the street has Mechitzas around it. Or the building has Mechitzas around it. So he has a Drisus HaRegel to go from his house to the place where we want to carry without leaving a Rishus HaYochid. But the guy who drives all the way from Alaska truly has a Drisus HaRegel, but the place where he's coming is not Terech Rishus HaYochid. He had to leave the Rishus HaYochid of his house and drive all the way to get here. That Drisus HaRegel does not. That's Befeirush Gemara like that. Yeah, the din is that the Erev HaTzeres is only good if all of the Shutfim, all the people in the building, have the right to eat everything up. If the people are makbet and no one else should eat their matzah, so then the whole area of the chatzeres is over. I used to have, in my building, we used to have a couple. The husband was learned in the yeshiva. He happened to have learned Erevin with me in the summertime on vacation. He was a very absent-minded professor of math, mathematician, a lot of mathematicians are absent-minded. And his wife was also absent-minded. So it was for a while it was a good shidduch, then they got divorced after a few children. So he and his wife both absent-minded, and said almost every third Shabbos, he and his wife both had to buy challahs for Shabbos. The wife was busy, she never had a chance to bake her own challah, so they used to buy. So every third Shabbos they forgot to buy. So he would always knock on the door. We would be in the middle of the meal, he would always knock on the door and eat some matzahs for Lech HaMishnah. And he knows that the Erev is only good if no one's makbid. So every third week he would take the whole box of matzahs and wouldn't come back with it. He ate all the matzahs. So how did he do the Erev again? Then 3 weeks later he would come again. He got to buy challahs for Shabbos. So that's the din. The Erev is only good if the people are not locked on each other. And you have to have access to the matzahs. First of all, you have to know where they are, which apartment it is. And secondly, if the door is locked and you can't get in, it's no good. Let's say you have the Erev in a break front and it's locked, and the only way to get the matzahs, the challahs, is to break down the break front. So the Gemara in Erevin has a whole discussion. If it's only an Issa de Rabbanon to break down the break front, so then and then it is considered accessible. But if you'll have to violate an Issa de Raisa, then it's no good. The Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he discusses there was a period of time under the British that they used to have a curfew. They didn't allow anyone to walk in the streets on Friday nights. Certain hours, Bein HaShmashes. Sometimes they're not to be Bein HaShmashes. So he has the shaila. The other people don't have access to the matzahs because they can't go to the curfew. They can't walk in order to get the matzahs. So I think he's mekel. So that's not called being accessible.
Yeah. So for that Shabbos that works because of Kevin Shalitza, or the Atman professor would eat the matzahs that Shabbos. It still works for that Shabbos.
Yeah.
Because of
the butcher? Yeah. But then you eat up the matzahs on Shabbos, so that Shabbos you're allowed to get. That Shabbos, you got to be moving the air again. Correct. There is a Rashi in the beginning of Perek Hador, where Rashi sounds like he says that you have to rent for the goy, and you have going to have to rent for the goy every single Friday. So the Rosh says that Rashi never meant it. Rabbi Zalmanchik used to be Mahmur. He thought that Rashi does mean it, and he insisted that you have to rent for the Goy every week. But that's not the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch assumed that, that if you rent once for the Goy, that's good enough for Rabbi.
And the break front, you don't have to break it, do you? You have to break it?
No, if theoretically it's possible to get the
without
access, without violating the Nisa Raisa, so Bein HaShmashes, it has to be accessible Bein HaShmashes. So we spoke about a kol mishum shmushus l'gozer al bein hashmoshes. It's only the rabban and kal. If it's the rabban and chom, where you're not mekel, the rabban and kal, the mekel, the makom mitzvah, then it's considered as if it is accessible. Yeah. When you rent for the moshe l'ir, when you rent for the mayor, some people have a shtick. They rent. They get a document from mayor that he's renting them the city for 99 years. So the Mishnah Berurah says he shouldn't rent for 99 years. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the rabban, shulas a rabban. That they always switch mayors. They just swore in a new mayor. They keep on switching mayors. So the mayor has a right to rent, even for religious purposes. That doesn't affect anything. Mayor has a right to rent for 99 years. How does he know? He's not going to live so long. How does he know what's going to be in 99 years? Maybe the citizens of the city will not be happy with that. So whatever the mayor agrees to is binding on the next generation also. But he says it's unreasonable that the mayor should rent for more than 10 years or 20 years. Too much into the future. That's not reasonable. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Should really, when you're renting for the mayor, should only rent for 10 years or 20 years, something like that. Then you have to keep track when your 10 years are up. Then you have to renew the rental. The Mishnah has a kula. Let's say the Yo-Yo has a weekend and they take over a whole hotel. And all of the people sleep in different places and they eat all together. But the Magen Avraham said the place where you sleep is more private than the place you're eating. Everybody's eating together. You have 200 people eating together. So the place where you eat is Beisa, because that's more private. They should really ben shlicht in the more private. They don't let you light candles in the room. So you have to say a bracha on the electric light. Somehow you shouldn't say a bracha, so you light it without saying a bracha. Okay. But you can't be outside Lokas Haneris, Shalom Beisa. So the beiso is really the apartment where you're sleeping, not the room where everybody's eating together. So if the apartment where you're sleeping is the more private one, and that's called beiso, so everybody else is on everybody else. So when the Yo-Yo takes over a whole hotel, so they really have to make an Erev Chatzeres. So the Mishnah says in Erevin, if all of the people, all the food that they're all eating comes from the same place, let's say you have a hotel, people come for a Pesach, whatever, for Yontif, for Shabbos. So there's no need for an Erev Chatzeres, because even though everybody has their own apartment, and everybody should ask around each other, but since all the food comes from the same kitchen, so nobody asks on each other. The Mishnah has even a bigger kitchen. The Mishnah has, let's say, there's a five-family house, and the parents live downstairs, and they have four married children who live in the upstairs in the four different apartments, and the mother cooks all the food for everybody. Everybody eats, and they all eat the food in their own apartments, but all the food comes from the mother. Everybody works for a living, and the mother cooks all day long. So the mother cooks all day long. So the Mishnah says, if all the food comes from one place, there's no need for a Erev Chatzeres. Okay. Then there's another din. There's a din. If the owner of the apartment rented out the apartment, but he reserves the right, he maintains the right to leave furniture in everybody's apartment. So he didn't fully rent out 100% the apartment. He reserves the right to leave certain heavy things. He reserves the right to leave a book in the apartment, that's not good enough. He reserves the right to leave heavy furniture in everybody's apartment, that's called fisus yada. So if the landlord has fisus yada in everybody's apartment, so again, there's no need for any Erev Chatzeres, because considered as if all of the tenants are guests by the landlord, because he maintains his right to use the apartment. So that was a big machlokes. What if the landlord provides all of the tenants by contract, he provides all the tenants with a refrigerator. It's a big piece of furniture. He provides all the tenants with a stove. So do you say that the landlord retains the right to leave a refrigerator in everybody's apartment, refrigerator, any piece of furniture? Or do you say no? What do you mean he retains the right? He doesn't retain the right. He's required by contract to supply me with the refrigerator. That's my hishtamshus, not his hishtamshus. If I want his old broken refrigerator, I want to have my own, I can ask him, please take out your refrigerator. He doesn't have the right to need the refrigerator unless I want it. He supplied the refrigerator to me. So that was a big machlokes. So Rav Soloveitchik used to follow the Dvar Avraham, was the rabbi in Kovna. He died in the middle of the war before they had a chance to kill him. He died from disease in the Kovna ghetto. So in his tshuvas, he thinks that that's not called tfisas yad. Because it's not that the landlord retains the right to use the apartment. The landlord is providing service to the tenant. It's an ishtamshus of the tenant. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote a tshuva about this, and he thinks that it's okay. And when people would ask him, so he would tell them, he has it in printed in tshuvas, and he would say, you shouldn't make an Erev Chatzeres, and even if you don't believe me, you don't trust me, you want to make an Erev Chatzeres l'chumra, make sure you don't say a bracha. Normally when you make an Erev, you say a bracha. So make sure you don't say a bracha, because trust me, it'll be a bracha l'atom. That's what he used to insist, and he's right. So here in the dormitories, Rav Soloveitchik always used to, the yeshiva has, all the apartments are fully furnished here. Everything is furnished. So the yeshiva has heavy furniture in everyone's apartment. But those who pay to stay in the dormitory, so it's like part of the contract. The yeshiva is providing you with the furniture. It's not that the yeshiva administration retains the right to leave furniture in your apartment. They're providing you with the furniture. You're paying a fortune to use the dormitory, so they have to provide you with the furniture. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that they should make an Erev in the dormitory. But that's usually assumed not so. It's usually assumed that if you have a fully furnished hotel, and everybody's a guest by the Balabas. No, you don't need an Erev Chatzeres.
How far do we think Mishnah's cool about all coming from one place in terms of the food? In other words, if there's only one bakery in the town, can we say that all the food in the town comes from one place also? Mm. How far do you take the cool?
No, I think it means all the food. If all the people that live in the same house all get the food from the same source, the mother cooks all the food. Either it's a hotel where they provide all of the guests with food, or it's one big family, and all the food comes from grandma and so on. So then, it's all in the same building. If you have a bakery, that's not part of this building. I don't think so. No. Some people thought that the bell telephone has a thesis yard in everyone's apartment because they have a telephone in everyone's apartment. The telephone belongs to the bell telephone, even if it does belong to them. They don't retain the right to leave a telephone. You want to rent a telephone. Even if you rent a telephone, you're buying it. It's not a thesis yard. Heavy furniture, the landlord doesn't help someone else. If the landlord retains the right to use the apartment to leave every furniture there, so it's considered as if they're all still guests by the landlord. But if it's not the landlord, it's about town for them. That's not a thesis yet.
So a town has two reasons to be
But that was fully furnished.
Fully furnished.
And all the food.
And all the food.
All the food.
So even if you're not, if you're in a regular hotel without a weekend or something, you can also carry.
Pashtas, those are all fully furnished. So no one asks on anybody. Everybody gets to the order of the hotel. That's the pashtas.
But the Rav would say for the hotel that you need to rely on food to get your name.
Yeah. Okay. Look, Erevin was not his field. Putting it mildly. Yeah.
The landlord has the right to come into your apartment. Let's say if there's a leak. Because in every apartment house, the movers, you have to leave a key with the super.
Yeah.
Why? Something might happen in the building when you're not there.
Yeah.
So that was it.
No, that's not Tvisis yet. Tvisis means he retains the right, not only emergency, he retains the dairy. He has to have emergency. He has to protect his building. Yeah, but here it means he retains the right for his own purposes to leave every furniture in everyone's apartment. Then you have the Svar of the Magid Mishnah. It doesn't really say in the Gemara. The Magid Mishnah has a Svar. If you have, let's say, a two-family house, a three-family house, and the owner of the house rents out the other apartments to Shabbat Shabbos or to non-Jews, so the Magid Mishnah says a Svar that it's an umdinah that the landlord who's a Shomer Shabbos wouldn't want to rent out to the tenants that they should ask on it. So he says as far as the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Achrayim are not so convinced, but you have a right to rely on that. If you have a hotel, there's another sub law. Usually in a hotel, even if you rent a room, the owners of the hotel have a right to switch you to another room if it's equally pleasant or nicer. You can't switch you to a weaker room. But they can switch you to another. So that's a Gemara. Whenever they have right to be massaged into a different room, so then you're on Asa. Then you're not called, it's not called Basin. This is only if they don't have the right to enforce that. Yeah, in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the following. If you have a landlord has a big apartment building, and he has 100 apartments, and he didn't rent them out yet. I rent one apartment and I say, who are you going to rent the others to? He's going to rent to Jews, non-Jews. I say, I want to give you a dollar. I give him a dollar to rent the whole building for religious purposes that no one should answer on me. And now you have a right to rent it for dinimonious purposes. So if I rent it from the landlord before he rented it out, so then the landlord is the right address. The landlord owns all the apartments. They're all empty. They're all vacant. So I rented the whole building for religious purposes. But if the landlord already rented out all the apartments, then he's Nishken Balabas anymore. The landlord has no right to rent out the apartments if they already rented it to the tenant. He has no right to rent it out again now for religious purposes. So then you have to go to each tenant, each nachri, you have to go to the Sefer Lakita, go to the super who represents all of them. The Mishnah quotes of Blazim and Azariah, Perek Hador, we pass them like that. I remember my grandmother, Halev Shalom, used to live in an apartment that's a four-family home or something like that, three-four-family home, and all the other apartments were Nochrin. She was the only Jewish woman in the whole building. So the din is in the Mishnah, that's considered a milsa de lo shchicha, that a Jew should move into a building where he's the only Jew, no other Jewish families. In the days of the Tanoim, they considered all the Nochrin were chashudim al shchichas domim. So there could be another Jewish family in another apartment, so they'll look out for each other. So then the Jews won't be nervous. But if it's only one Jewish family and all the others are nachrim, so the Tanoim of those Manazak considers that a Milsul al Shlicha, a Milsul al Shlicha that goes for Abundance, so you don't have to rent for the nachrim, the nachrim don't ask that. Nikir Adin, the Gemara explains, we should really have said, Diras Nachri is Kidiras Behema, that a Nachri doesn't ask it at all. Only time they ask it is Diras Adam, if you have Diras Behema, it doesn't ask it. But they made it there in the Rabbanon that you should have to rent for the Nachri because they wanted to discourage us from living in integrated neighborhoods. They didn't want us to live together with non-Jews. Gzera, Shulayilma Dimaisav, you shouldn't pick up the style of living of the non-Jews. So they wanted to make it uncomfortable for the Jews to live together with non-Jews. So that's where the Rashi sounds like he says, you have to rent every Friday. So the Jew is going to get, the Goy is going to get annoyed every Friday he's renting for me. What's going on? That's a simple reading of Rashi that the Rosh claims that Rashi never meant it. So if it's a milsad lo shchicha, if it's a one Jew living in the whole apartment building, then no other Jews in the whole building, but the other Jews are not shomer Shabbos at all. The Mechal Shabbos befeis, the Dina Kachum. So then the Nochrim and the Jews, Mechal Shabbos befeis, don't ask around the Jew. The Rishonim have, they used to have, the cities in the days of the Baliyatais used to have walls around them, so the whole city was one big Rishon Sayyidim. And in the days of the Rishonim, there was a Hechetim, so there's only one Jewish family in the whole city. The cities were very small. There was only one Jewish family. There was no minion of Jews. There was one family, that's all. So the Maharam Rittenberg says that the Mordechai quotes this Maharam Rittenberg. There's only one Jewish family in the whole city, and all the others are not from Tzatzam Milsad Moshricha. So you don't have to rent for the Nochem. The only time you have to rent for the Nochem is if there are at least two Jewish families who have to make an Erech Haseris between the two of them, or if you have more than two families, so then you have to rent for the Nochem as well.
And if there was added after Shlomo? That make it uncomfortable for the Jews to
look. Could well be. The Pashtus says that not all of these dinim were instituted by Shlomo HaMelech. Over the course of the generation, they added on. Yeah, you get the impression that this was added on later. Yeah, the way the Gemara says, Diras Akum, Kediras Behema, where in the world did they get such an idea? It sounds like there was a din deraisa like that. When you learn the Ran on the Gilad, the first page of the Gilad, the Ran explains where is there a din deraisa like that? Diras Akum, Kediras Behema. Called the Tiferet. Whenever you find a strange din on the level of Drabonim, it's a dead giveaway. There must be some strange din on the level of Deraisa like that. So the Rav in the first half of the Gila, there is, explains where the din Deraisa is. But yet, Ayoris Amun Kafetz Chomois, who should be known as Asha Allah, and that Dira Sakum is the nearest day. So they borrowed that concept and they gave the Eruv. The Mishnah in the middle of the Gitchman has a series of Takonis and Drabonim. But they think an oilam and they dark kishonim. The kohen always gets the first aliyah, even if he wants to be moichel on his kavod. But they dark kishonim because he may be moichel one Shabbos, and next Shabbos he won't be moichel. That's going to cause friction. How come there was a bar mitzvah one Shabbos and they needed all the aliyahs, so the kohen was moichel on his kavod? Let Yisrael get the first aliyah, then next week he won't be moichel on his kavod. So it's going to cause friction. So then the kohen should never be moichel on his kavod. So that's when they dark kishonim. So the Mishnah has a whole series of takonas. First it starts with what's doing in the middle of Git. First it starts off with the Takon of the Rabbanon and the Hilchas Git and the Tnei Dak Yishon. Then it quotes Prusbul and all kinds of Takonis. Among the various Takonis is that the Baisha Minichim Asa Erev, the apart where you leave the Erev, he has the Chazoket and you shouldn't switch it. For many years, in my building there was an elderly gentleman who was an invalid. He couldn't go to shul. He used to always sit by the window and daven. And he was a religious yekid, so he never went away. So if he never goes away, he said everyone will always have access to the area. The young, healthy people go away once in a while. You have to leave your keys by your neighbor, everybody has to know. This fellow never went away, so they always left the area by him. And he passed away, so they asked me to keep the area in my apartment. So the Mishnah has a takana, the Baisha, Minichim, Baisha, Erev, they shouldn't switch it. You shouldn't switch the area to someone else's apartment because people will think, the guy must have been Mechal Shabbos or something. Must have robbed the bank or something. Why did they take away the mitzvah from him? That they no longer trust him with the Erev. So that Mishnah is the source of the whole institution of Chazaka by mitzvahs. The guy was the Baal Tekeh for a couple of years. You shouldn't take it away from him. The guy was the Baal Tefillah for Musa for a couple of years. You shouldn't take it away. Because people will cause a shemra. He must have done some major Aveira. Why they took away his chus from him. So that Mishnah is the institution of Chazaka by mitzvahs. A lot of times it causes a lot of friction. Okay. We mentioned earlier that in our bungalow colony, the summer I was learning Arabic with that guy who later on became my neighbor when he got married, perhaps a mind professor of there. So that summer we were learning Arabic. So we had a YU bungalow colony, Rabbi Kalapa's there, and a lot of cheerful people. Rabbi Parnas, I was learning with Rabbi Parnas' son. So every week we learned another din, so we kept on changing the Arab. So by the end of the summer, the Arab, the strings were pulled. There's nothing left from the original one. Every single pole, every single string was changed. So then one week, Rabbi Lindman was there. He used to be the Dean of Berna Rebel. So the Arab used to be in his apartment. But then one Shabbos, he had gone to the city. He was a rabbi in the shul in Flatbush. He had gone to the city. So we hadn't yet learned the whole Masichta. So we thought that since he's not, it's impossible, he can't come back in the middle of Shabbos, he's a Shem Shabbos, so he does Nasir. So we thought that he can't leave the Erev in his apartment either. So we walked down to his porch. The porch was open, we walked into his apartment, we took out the box of matzahs, we put it in someone else's home. Then the next week we learned, the next 10 blot Gemara, that that's not necessary. That even though the house where the person is away for Shabbos does Nasir, he does Nasir, but the halacha still says he may leave the Erev in his apartment, because Sofkel Sof is one of, it is one of the batim in the chotzer. I remember once in my building, you know, the Rabbi Einstein, who comes twice a year to raise money for the Aliyah in Eretz Yisrael, so he used to live in my building. His parents used to live before when he was single, he lived there. When he got married, so he was a Ben Yochid. His parents lived in my building. So his father was a real Yekid. So his father once asked me, on Erev Pesach, did you burn the box of matzahs for the Erev? I renewed the Erev, he said, did you burn the box of matzahs? So I said, no, why should I burn the box of matzahs? He said, that's the minig. So I thought he was an Amoritz. I thought he didn't know what he thought. So I said, that's not my minig. I didn't burn the box of matzahs. So then, a couple of years later, I got a Ravon. The Ravon was a Rishon Lind. He used to correspond with the Ravon at the time, the Rashman. The Ravon writes that was the minig in Germany. They used to burn the box of matzahs. An old minig, and he wonders why. Why in the world did they burn the box of matzahs? So he says, probably because the Erev is only valid, Erev is only useful if everybody has access to a pair of Shabbos Bein HaShemashes. They all have a right to take the matzahs. Like my neighbor, who used to come every third week to take the whole box of matzahs. So we are afraid maybe someone stuck his chametz sticking fingers into the box of matzahs and he put some chametz on the matzahs. So the minig always was that they would burn the matzahs when it comes Pesach. I don't have the minig. Some people refrain from eating matzahs from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, other people refrain from a month before. Shloshim Yom Kodesh Machak. I don't have the minig. I just have the minig there at Pesach. I don't. So when I make the new Erevs, I eat up the old matzahs. You're allowed to eat chametz. When you're allowed to eat chametz, you're allowed to eat the matzahs. It's not a problem. But there was such a minig that Ravon has. The Gemara says, we discussed the Gemara this year. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Ayin Ches tells a story that there was a baby was born on Shabbos and the bris was to take place the next Shabbos. And then in the days of the Gemara, the practice was that they had to bathe the baby with warm water before and after the bris in order to prevent infection. In the days of the Shulchan Aruch, he says, be ready, don't do that. The hygienic conditions are so much improved. The 1500s in Tzvas, the hygienic conditions so much better. They no longer bathe the baby. But in the days of the Gemara, they had to bathe the baby to prevent infection. So the Gemara says they had hot water prepared, and all the water spilled out. That's the story. All the hot water was spilled out. So then someone else had hot water, so the shayla was, are they allowed to carry? So they didn't have an area chatzer, so they weren't allowed to carry. So they said, they asked a nachri, it's a shvuz, the shvuz, makam mitzvah, mutter, and the machloek is in Tosfos, is it only mutter for makam mitzvah, smilah, because smilah is man is derech Shabbos, even though this is nachshirei smilah, so a mekel, the shvuz, the shvuz, my nachshirei smilah is derech Shabbos, or does it apply to all mitzvahs? So we're mekel on that, the shvuz, the shvuz, makam mitzvah, mutter, even it's not a case of a milah. So that Gemara, the Gemara says, what's going on over there? So a big Amarayim lived in that chotzer. How come they didn't make an error? It's their responsibility to make an error. So the Gemara says, he was so busy learning, he wasn't paying attention that there was the error, and the other one was also. But the Mordechai says, and not Gemara, you see from this Gemara, that whenever it's possible to make an error with Hatzeris, it's a mitzvah to make an error with Hatzeris. It's been miyuchad on the Talmud Chacham. It's the responsibility of the rabbi in the community, whenever it's possible to make an error in the city, if the error is not valid, he can't. But if there's possibility to make an Erev, then it's the responsibility of the Talmid HaChacham in the city, because for sure someone's going to carry the Yisuf. Some people don't know you're not allowed to carry. Other people will forget they're going to carry on Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says in this city. It's the responsibility of the Talmid HaChacham in the Yuchat to make the Erev.